It's Sunday, the 4th of December. Welcome aboard. You're listening to the Pod Report. This is your captain speaking. Strap in, peoples, because we're going to be taking you on a plane ride straight to hell. Hello, Pod Report.
Have a nice day.
Welcome back to the Pod Report. I'm Andy Parnell, the host for the show. We're going to be bringing global justice straight to your ear and got some important announcements. But firstly, check out our website. You can go to www.podreport.podomatic.com. That's www.podreport.podomatic.com. And send us an email or leave a comment online. The email address is podreport1word@podomatic.com. As you can probably gather from the intro, we're doing a special theme, a special focus tonight on stopping airport expansion here in Britain. And before we do, we've got, I'd just like to say g'day to Russell out there from Australia. G'day mate. He's over in Melbourne and he's doing a special research assignment on whether or not people go to a website after looking at a poster. And you can check out his activist style posters on www.endofprintoneword.org. So go and check it out. It's pretty cool. And also tonight we've got an interview with Keith Parkins. And Keith is part of the Stop Farnborough Airport expansion. Farnborough's just outside of London, about 3 hours drive or something. There's an airport expansion plan going on ahead there, and we're going to have a chat with Keith about that, and what he's done so far to try and stop it. Right, well, before we get on to all that, we're just going to play a little song just to get us in the mood.
Like I can fly, 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 nothing seems to matter.
welcome back to the Pod Report, another safe landing. And we're going to be moving on now to airports and what's wrong with them. Okay, so our focus is going to be on aviation. There's been significant growth that's been forecast for the aviation industry over the next 20 to 30 years, in fact, even the next 10 years. In terms of passenger travel and also air movement of freight, and people in the environment face serious threats from this growth, including noise problems, pollution, possible cancer clusters around airports, and of course, climate change being the big daddy. Now, aviation has been almost like a forgotten environmental issue. It's been everyone's been out marching out against the road expansion in Britain and so on, you know, particularly during the 80s and so on. But seems to be New Labour at the moment. It seems to have a love of expanding airports here in Britain, because cheap subsidised air travel seems to be what it's all about here in Europe. And if we continue along this road, well, what's going to happen? Well, according to a Transport 2000 report, which you can get off www.transport2000.org.uk, called The Plain Truth, Aviation and the Environment, it predicts that by 2015, air travel worldwide could be more than double that in 1995. And if trends continue, by 2050, passenger kilometres flown could grow to between 5 and 9 times that in the mid-90s. So we're talking about huge amounts of toxic chemicals. We're talking about huge amounts of toxic emissions and that impact upon human health around these areas. We're also talking about, you know, major impacts upon climate change. And if it continues its projected growth, it means that by 2050 it is set to become one of the biggest single sources of greenhouse gas emissions, with around 10% of climate change directly attributable to aircraft. On short-haul flights, air travel produces around 3 times as much carbon dioxide per passenger as rail. So, what's the answer? Obviously, the answer is use rail for short flights. You don't need, I mean, fair enough, I can probably imagine that we need air transport for long-haul flights. But there's absolutely no need for it whatsoever to have to go on short haul flights unless it's an emergency. So if you're in the UK, for example, there's absolutely no reason why you should be travelling from London to Glasgow by plane, or from Cardiff to London by plane, or from Swansea to Cardiff by plane. Or anywhere like that by plane. I mean, you should be using rail, and they should be improving the rail networks to introducing things like high-speed rail and so on to be able to do this. And as well as the greenhouse gas emissions and the volatile organic compounds, or VOX as they're known as, which is the type of toxic emissions that these planes produce, there's also the big issue of noise. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was sitting outside of Stansted, I'm sure I'd be, you know, in a house outside of Stansted, I'm sure I'd be going nuts right now if I was happening to be podcasting from around that area. And so what can you do about it? Well, there's a list of websites here I've got for those activists that are in the UK. For a start, you can have a look at the best one to look at is www.airportwatch.org.uk. Airport Watch is an umbrella body for all the other airport campaigning organisations that are going on in the UK. And if you'd like to pledge to try and stop airport expansion, you can. If you go to www.airportpledge.org.uk. And sign up to the pledge to try and stop airport expansion happening here in the UK. And I was at Beyond TV the other week, and I was talking to, I actually watched a really nice film from the Undercurrents crew, who did a lovely DVD called Reach for the Sky, and that's about stopping the Swansea Airport expansion, which they've actually managed to achieve. So that's, you know, that's one a really good victory that us in the activist movement have won, and we can continue to help, hopefully replicate those kinds of successes with other areas. So you can go to www.undercurrents.org /reach for the sky, one word, and then just another backslash. And if you'd like to check out the Swansea website, you can go to www.wildlife, one word, website. So wildlife website is one word, sorry, .com/sane, S-A-N-E, and another backslash. And that should get you to their website. And of course, don't forget transport2000.org.uk for all sorts of transport issues. Right, I think enough about that. It's obviously a very big issue. We need to get on with it and try and stop any further airport expansion from going on, since it is the single biggest contributor at the moment in terms of increases of greenhouse gas emissions. And if we're ever going to try and stop climate change as much as possible, we need to obviously stop using short-haul aircraft. Right, I think I'll have a break here and come back for our lovely interview with Keith Parkins from the Farnborough Group, to just to show you what's going on in that particular area, to give you a good example of stopping airport expansion campaigning.
Bye.
Yes, I almost flew away myself there. Okay, so that was Paula Toledo. She's a Canadian singer, a lovely singer, and you can check out her website. It's www.paulatoledo.com. Paula Toledo is one word, and then .com. She's a brilliant artist. I'm going to be featuring her a fair bit on my podcast, and I think she's a quite untapped talent. So hopefully, more of you will find out about it. By the way, also the other artist that I played earlier on was Adrina Thorpe, and you can go to www.adrinathorpe.com, and that was called Fly Fly Fly. Right, moving on. We've got our interview now with Keith Parkins, and Keith's going to tell us all about Farnborough and the airport, the Stopping the Airport Expansion campaign that he's been involved with. Take it away, Keith. So I've got Keith again here in the studio, and he's going to talk to us today about stopping airport expansion in Britain. In particular, we've got a case of big multinational companies coming in trying to double the air traffic in his town of Farnborough. And Keith is going to talk a little bit about you know, what's going on and the sorts of pressures that their town are under at the moment, and the sorts of noise pollution and so on that. And air pollution that the citizens and the residents are going to have to live with. So, Keith, tell us about where this started kicking off.
Right, this started kicking off. They've been operating unofficially, I learned from them a couple of weeks ago, for about 16 years, although they lacked planning consent. But of course, no planning enforcement is carried out. But in the year 2000, TAG Aviation, and that's the same as TAGER, the watch, and same as TAG McLaren, right, the racing team, got permission to operate a business airport in Farnborough. Now, this is probably known to people worldwide, because this is where the Farnborough Air Show takes place every 2 years, alternates with the Paris Air Show, also where years ago was the Royal Aircraft Establishment, key aircraft research. But it's now nominally to protect our heritage, but it's a business airport.
And this is how many kilometres or miles south of southwest of London?
It's about, I like to say in distance, but on the train it's about 40 minutes straight out of Waterloo Station, central London.
Yeah.
So it's the, in fact, it's marketed not only as the business airport for London, it's also marketed as the business airport for Europe.
Right.
It's the European business airport. So anyone doing business with the States and Europe, this is where you fly into. So you get anything from Learjets flying in to a Boeing business jet. And a Boeing business jet is a Boeing 737. The only difference is it's kitted out differently internally. The other difference as well is, if it's going on a transatlantic or worldwide flight, it can carry the fuel payload of a Boeing 747, which means on takeoff, that could have 40 tons of fuel on board.
Right.
If it takes off, depending which way it goes, it could take off immediately over Farnborough. So if it crashed, it would probably kill about 2,000 people.
Oh.
It would make the Twin Towers look like a picnic, because they had flown for an hour before they crashed.
Oh.
This would crash on takeoff. And that's where, within what is called the crash zone, or the public safety zone, there's about 2,000 people live. For comparison, if you look at Gatwick, which is a much, much bigger safety footprint, I think there's only four people live in that zone. And also, if you take off from Gatwick, you look down and you just see the odd farmhouse, cottage, or what have you. So they got the planning consent in the year 2000. There was something like 1,200 objections, I think 200 in favour.
Mostly from the local residents?
1,200 were from the local residents. The 200 were mainly generated by business interests and a few, if you like, aviation enthusiasts.
Right.
Now, the people who objected, they didn't just say, we don't want an airport. A lot of them put in very detailed technical objections.
Mm.
But when it was put before the planning committee, there was an agenda that was only dealt with that one planning item. Must have been about 100 pages thick. There was half a page of bullet points, and that was for the objectors.
Right.
So none of our arguments or anything was put before the committee, and they made it very clear they were just going to rubber stamp it, which is what they did.
And, okay, there's probably no way to prove this, but I take it there must have been some pretty heavy political leverage going on behind the scenes.
off the record, we were told they had to pass it. I mean, they could have just turned around and said no, but we got the impression there was interference by central government, particularly as it's big business involved, and the Blair government is so dependent on big business.
Yeah. And what kind of companies might go, use this air service?
According to the operators, when I was at a meeting with them at the airport only a couple of weeks ago, they actually named some of them: IBM, Nokia, whoever is a global corporation that owns Budweiser beer. So in other words, the Coca-Cola, McDonald's of the world to run their global empires. Mm. And how this came out is only a few years have gone by, but they're already back for more because they have a limit on weekend flights. And they've now already hit that weekend limit, so they're actually having to turn away business. And what they said was, we don't want to turn away business. These corporations are a global operator. They operate 7 days a week, as I then added, 24 hours a day. So therefore, they want, as they said, we give our customers what they want. So what they've come back and said is, they want to double the number of flights. Now, if we take this interview as an example, we could not conduct this interview while one of these planes comes over my house.
No,
it will drown this out for about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So you can imagine one or two go over, you put up with it, but after a few, you're grinding your teeth in the summer, sat in your garden, it's absolute hell. Mm. And they are wanting to double this hell. But it so happens we are now in the middle of the so-called consultation period. There's no actual consultation happens at all. If you're lucky, the local authority notifies you, but there's a whole swathe of the local population they have completely failed to notify. This has been drawn to the attention of the local council, and we've just had a basically arrogant contempt for the community. They've just turned around and said, well, there's nothing to stop them objecting.
Mm. So, Keith, in terms of trying to get this to a public inquiry, which is probably what the next stage might be, what do you reckon the chances are of doing that?
This we don't know, but what I will do, if I have to, will file a judicial review. I've already done this once on the airport and held it up for a year because in the original planning they failed to do a safety study. Because the airport operator have come back and said, we want to double the number of movements. The only reason they've given is they are losing business. Well, that is not a material planning consideration.
No, it's not.
In other words, that would be like a Chinese restaurant saying, well, we're turning away business Friday, Saturday night, so can we be twice as big? You can't give someone planning on that. If they're not making money, that is their problem. Mm. But because we're in the middle of the planning process, we need as many objections in as possible.
Where can listeners go to find out more about this issue and to be able to put in an objection if they so choose?
Right. They go to Indie Media UK, and that is www.indymedia, all one word, I-N-D-Y, media, .org.uk. Just do a search Farnborough Airport. That will give who you send your planning objections to. It will also give a link to my own website where you'll find a lot more detailed information. You'll even be able to pull up all the planning documents. The deadline has been extended, interestingly, not out of convenience to the local community, but because it's not yet convenient for the planning committee to deal with it. In other words, another example of the contempt. So it's now been extended to December the 9th. I think it's December the 9th. So if anyone looks this up, bringing objections, because at the moment we want quality and as many objections as possible.
Sure. Have they done an environmental impact assessment around the new plans?
I've seen it, and yes, they have. And in my view, and it's all right, possibly I'm biased, but it's garbage. It doesn't address any of the issues. And in fact, the airport operator is saying, we don't notice the noise. So presumably, if we don't notice the noise, and then you double the noise, because obviously if you double the number of movements, then you double the number of noise incidents. Now, the view of those who live there is, yes, we are affected by noise. And also, when this condition was set, the limits at weekends, it actually you always have to give a reason on a planning condition, and it said, to protect the amenity of the local community.
Yeah.
Well, our amenity value has not changed. If nobody lived there anymore, then you could come back and say, well, we're not protecting that. But because of crass planning policies, there's more people live affected by this airport. Therefore, that hasn't changed. There is no grounds in planning law for them to actually give it. So what will be interesting is, will our councillors do as they normally do, listen to a developer and say, what do you want? Because when TAG first applied for this airport.
Yeah.
They applied for 25,000 movements.
Wow.
The council gave
25,000 movements spot per year.
But the council gave them 28,000. They actually gave them more than they applied for. There was also in the local plan, which is the broad brush within a planning framework, was a limit of 50 tons. They wanted 80 tons. The local plan had only just been set, so the council had to meet.
80 tons of what, sorry? Just
sorry, for maximum weight of the aircraft on takeoff.
Sure.
That's to accommodate a Boeing business jet, else they couldn't use Boeing business jets from that. So what was interesting is they had to first go back, change the local plan that had only been agreed the week before to up the limit. Before it had been 35 tonnes, the local plan set it to 50 tonnes, it was immediately changed to 80 tonnes, because that was the only way they could then agree the tank planning application. So anyone wants an idea of dysfunctional local government failing to act for the local community, just look at what we call locally the rotten borough of Rushmore.
Yeah. Just, I mean, one small point there is you've got... you know, the flight path of these planes, I take it they go directly over the whole city from what you're saying to me. So if you're going to have 80 tons of airplane flying over, what kind of noise is that going to make if you're sitting in your back?
The noise is actually got nothing to do with the weight of the aircraft, in that you can have a small Learjet that makes more noise than a much bigger aircraft.
Right, okay.
Where it does have an effect is if it crashes. And when these planes come in, they are literally just brushing our rooftops. And to give an idea for that, before the airport got planning consent, they had to cut down trees in our back gardens because they were projecting into the flight path. The planes were actually forced to fly higher while the trees were there. And when they cut them down in the local college and we inspected the tops of the trees were burnt from the jet exhaust.
Mm. Well, there you have it. Just another abuse of power going out and also causing a lot more climate change issues and problems through the doubling of airport expansion. And it's good to see you're fighting strong in that neck of the woods, and I hope you succeed.
Well, we try, but when you mentioned climate change, when TAG put in this planning application originally, they said if you allow us to have this expanding airport, it will reduce CO2.
Mm. Well, work that one out, Peebles. All right.
Right. When they did this, because I was the only one familiar, there were documents about this long, boxes like this.
What, so like about a metre long?
Yeah, and I read them all.
Yeah, right.
Or scanned them.
You scanned them,
yeah. I used to be in the AFC council. I used to have their planners coming up to me asking me questions, because they knew I had read them all. And all they did was regurgitated what was in those documents. I even went up to the head of planning and said, excuse me, did TAG give this to you on a floppy disk? And he just turned white. And the reason I know they did, because this argument that having an expanded airport will reduce greenhouse gases was actually in the planning agenda.
Right.
Now you might think, how do you work that one out? Right.
Yeah, well, that's the question.
Right, it's a very convoluted argument. Their argument was, if you allow us to have this, then that will be one less plane flying out from Heathrow, because they can now fly from here, and they haven't got so far to fly.
But if you double the number of air traffic, then...
Yeah, but the ridiculous thing was, and as I pointed out, that short distance from Heathrow to Farnborough on Transatlantic is neither here nor there. They waste more time just going in a bloody stack because they can't get in.
Yeah.
And coming into Farnborough, you're going to have less priority than coming into Heathrow or Gatwick. Mm. But you free a Learjet from Gatwick, what do you replace it with?
A bigger...
Exactly.
Aircraft, yeah.
I mean, and so I just absolutely rubbished this. So the fact that it then appeared...
Well, there you have it. I think we'll call it the rest, and hopefully we'll stop these airport expansions going on across Britain.
Well, we're well over time this time, unfortunately. So you can check us out again. Go to our website, www.podreport.com. That again, www.podreport.com. And you too can obviously try and stop airport expansion. And we'll see you again next week for another exciting show. Oh, and don't forget to duck next time that aircraft comes in.